The following audio is from North Life Church in Fort McMurray, Alberta. More information is available at northlifechurch.ca.
I love that song, "We'll Reign With Him for All Eternity." I haven't heard that for a while. That's a good one. We'll have to resurrect that again periodically. How many plan to listen? Raise your right hand. Those opposed? By the way, that's how I have business meetings. We don't have three-hour business meetings. I'm not used to three-hour business meetings. The President of the United States doesn't have three-hour business meetings. There's a little chorus I learned to play many years ago. "Everything's all right in my Father's house." Anyone ever hear that? I wish I could sing. But I can't. I think they even turn my microphone off when I try to sing with you. "Everything's all right, everything's all right." Remember that one? Anybody ever hear tell it? Raise your right hand. Oh, my land. "Everything's all right in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house." There's a lot of challenges here, aren't there? I listened to one of the television broadcasts recently. There's 60 million people right now today on the move somewhere on earth because of wars, famines, difficulties. 60 million are on the move. It has not been so for 70 years since the end of World War II. We see it on television, don't we? And it's a very difficult time for all these families. I can't even imagine it. Right now, there's many leaving Syria, some losing their lives. Trying to find a way to Austria, trying to find a way to Germany. Trying to find a way to the United States, to Canada. 60 million are on the move today, trying to find the way so they can have a home and some sense of sanity and security and harmony and peace. We need to be praying for these millions of people. I believe everybody's precious in the sight of God. Amen? Everyone is special. No matter what color, tongue, tribe, religion, everyone is special to God. He sees them all. We live in a broken world. When Adam and Eve rebelled against the Father, the world became broken. So there's evil, there's sin, there's separation. We're not in the Father's house yet. Everything is not all right here. Even with all of our blessings that we enjoy, especially in this country. Just to be able to get up today and leave a house, or for me, an apartment, and to get into a nice vehicle and drive here, to have health, strength, security in this place. I've read many times, and it's absolutely true, that the poorest of us living here are wealthy compared to most in the world. And I believe we need to be very grateful to God for that. I don't believe He necessarily wants to take it away. But if we don't have to pray for our daily bread, we should at least thank God for the daily bread. If our refrigerators are filled, thank God. He's been extremely good to us. But we must at least become more a type of people who praise and thank God. So it's not all right down here for everybody. But it is all right in the Father's house. We do not know how many people come to Christ every day. Worldwide, There's hundreds of thousands of people who are coming to Jesus Christ and trusting him. Because when foundations are shaken, there tends to be a more openness to seek the Almighty. And we're not sure how many come to Christ. Somebody did a guesstimate, a wise guesstimate, as best as we know, that approximately 140,000 people come to Christ every day. So that's in 2 days, about 200 and almost a quarter of a million people. Isn't that an amazing thing? Of 7 billion people on earth, hundreds of thousands every week are turning in faith to God through his son, Jesus Christ. I don't know the answers to everything. My guess is you don't either. We can't figure it all out, but it almost seems to me that in these days, God is not the author of everything. But sometimes he allows things for the greater good of eternity. I just had a new grandson. Did I tell you that 10 times already? And we have three others, Bethany and Madeline and Caleb. Caleb just started his first day of school. And Luca, his first day home. Same day. First day school, first day home. Bethany, Madeline, Caleb have all trusted Christ in interesting little ways. They've all invited Christ into their lives. It doesn't take too long to know that you have a problem. It's not just the macrocosm of this world that is being shaken and broken, but there's the microcosm of our hearts. Sometimes we ask, why is the world the way it is? Well, let me ask a more intimate question. Why are we the way we are? We don't always love like we should. Amen. We don't always care like we should. We don't always obey God like we should. We're often doing things that we know we shouldn't, but we do it anyway. Me, but not you, probably. You see, there's an issue in here as well as this big world. Therefore, I think this message today is extremely important. Jesus has gathered close to him 12 followers. He chose the 12 followers, which is interesting. They were very young, very likely. And he chose the 12. Sometimes we call them disciples. Sometimes we call them apostles. A couple of times, I think the Bible just calls them the 12. The 12. And except for one who the Lord said had a demon. Now, that's a theological challenge we'll deal with some other time. But he asked him to follow him too. He's a very gracious God that gives us opportunities over and over and over again. Even during the Lord's Supper, we call it the Last Supper because it was the last one before Jesus went to the cross to be crucified. It was the Passover supper. But even in that time, when Judas Iscariot was already convinced to betray Jesus, you know what Jesus called him? Friend. Isn't that amazing? The one who's going to betray him, he says, friend. I believe it's another opportunity. Another opportunity. So we come very close to the time of the crucifixion. It's the night before the trials. And we have the gathering of the apostles, the disciples. And the Lord is telling them some things, and they still can't figure it all out. A few days before, he reminded them several times, as we go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be arrested, and I'm going to be crucified. They couldn't grasp it because they were still thinking he's the Messiah, which he is. He's the king, which he is. But they were thinking very temporal, that he's going to overcome the Roman authorities. He's going to depose. He has the power to do it. He's going to depose the reigning king and Caesar. And he's going to take over. By the way, one day he shall. Amen. Not the first time, but the second time he comes. But they could not separate one from two. And if we would have been there, we couldn't have either. So he said, I shall be crucified, I shall be killed, and on the third day, day three, I shall what? I shall rise again. He told them several times. And now they are in the upper room. And if you visit Israel, I've been there, and if you visit Israel, they will take you to a building, to an upper room. We don't know for sure if that's the actual room. Might have been, might not have been, we're not sure. But at least it brings you into the reality. This happened in time and space and a place. And so they're in this upper room. And they're celebrating the Lord's Supper. And he says this. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Remember that? Let not your hearts be troubled. You know what? They're bothered. They know there's trouble brewing in Jerusalem. And they know they're affiliated with this person. And things are very tense. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe what? Also in me. And then he said these words, in my Father's house. Now one older version says what? If you're in my Father's house are many what? Mansions. Some versions, in my Father's house, there's plenty of room. The version I'm using recently, in my Father's house, listen to this, there's more than enough room. So in my Father's house, can you imagine what the Father's house is like? Now, I have a nice apartment. You can all come over someday. I have asked my wife first, but you can come all over. Can you imagine some of us have a nice place to stay? And there's some beautiful homes in this city. But can you imagine the Father's house, what it is like? The one who's sovereign over all. The Bible says the earth belongs to the Lord. He's the creator of everything. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have what? I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Someone said if Jesus has been preparing a place for 2,000 years, it's going to be quite a place. Some places I've gone in the world have been economically very depressed. Beautiful people, wonderful people. But practically without worldly goods. But I've met many in those situations who are dynamic Christians, Christ followers. Because their eye has caught another place. Their hearts are longing for another reality. And it's my Father's house. If I'm not, he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again. How many believe he's returning? Raise your right hand. I will come again, and I thrill with this. I will come again and receive you onto what? Myself. That where I am, there you may be also. This is a broken world. Today, there's 60 million on the move, going through extreme pressure and heartache. One day, it will not be so when the king returns. And it's interesting to me, with all of the technology this world has and all the expertise and all of the multimedia and all of the technology, we still can't seem to get it right. I would have thought by now we would have gotten our act together, but we haven't. There will be no supreme peace until the Prince of Peace returns. And between now and then, that Prince of Peace, his name is Jesus, is able to give us peace within our heart, within our hearts. Until the day comes in which we are transported into the Father's house. So, there's an uneasiness in the upper room. And Jesus said this beautiful thing. By the way, John 14, 15, 16 are upper room discussions. And in John 14 and verse 6, I love this. It's a classic statement of Jesus, and it's the most controversial. It seems that way with Jesus, doesn't it? A lot of people want to talk about God, but when we insert Jesus, there's tension. Because Jesus said, and many of us have memorized it when we were tiny little boys and girls. Jesus said to these disciples, he didn't say it to everyone at this stage, he said it to the disciples, that little covey of people. He said, I am, there's the I am again, that speaks of his divinity, his deity. I am the way, the truth, and the what? And the life. Classic. Billy Graham, the great evangelist, used that for, well, I think he's 96 or 97 now. He used that for decades for his crusades. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's classic. But the controversial part of what Jesus said is, no one comes to the Father but what? But through me. You see, Almighty God, I believe, is shaking this globe. It could be it's the last great push, the last great harvest before he returns. We're not sure. Could be. So things are being shaken so that the foundations that are not solid will be broken, that people might turn to God and know Jesus Christ, his Son. Could it be? I am the way, the truth, and the life. I just put the Appian Way up there for you. That's the Roman road in and out of Rome. Remember, all roads lead to what? Rome. They're still using some of that highway 2,000 years later. Very good asphalt, by the way. It probably is a little better than the streets of Fort McMurray. But I'm thankful for the games recently because we got new sidewalk out there. We got good stuff because of the games. We look good now, at least till January. Jesus said, I am the way. I don't think it is difficult. The way means there is a highway, there is a road, there's a lane. I am the way. And he was saying, in my Father's house are many mansions. And he said, I go prepare a place for you. And he said, you know the way, don't you? He told the boys. He said, you know the way. And of course, Thomas, Didymus means twin. Thomas had a twin. We don't know who it was. And sometimes we call him Doubting Thomas. So when the Lord said, you know the way, Thomas spoke up immediately and said, Lord, we don't even know where you're going, let alone know the way. It's a good thing. I appreciate Thomas. If he didn't get it, he said it. If he didn't understand it, he spoke up. I was taught that many, many years ago by a great professor. That that said this. The professor said, if you don't understand something, ask again. And that's what Thomas was like. He had a good mind. And he wanted to find out more for sure. And if he didn't get it, he didn't get it. So Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. And we don't know, so therefore we don't know the way. So that's when Jesus said, I am the what? Way. You do not have to know everything about heaven. You do not have to know, by the way, the Bible says very little about heaven. Just a little. Says more about hell than heaven. Interesting, isn't it? But Jesus said, you don't have to know all about my Father's house. You just have to know there is a place where there's no sorrow, no pain, no heartache, where it's peace and harmony, where we shall be forever without all that we face today. The good shall continue, the evil shall cease. None of that will enter that place. So he said, I am the way. I love that. You know, there is a journey to be undertaken, and there is a destination to be reached. When I was a younger boy, I don't think the boy ever leaves us, does it, completely? It shouldn't. And the girl should never leave us completely. But when I was much younger, I began that journey with Jesus Christ. I remember going into a little side room, something like this. And there was about 6 or 7 young boys and girls. And the pastor told us again, Jesus died on the cross for your sins because all have what? Sinned. And when he died on the cross, he paid for it all. He satisfied the Holy Father. And then he said, however, even though he died for you, there needs to be a personal reception of him. You need to believe. And I remember young boys, and I can name them today. And now and then one of them will email me or something, say, remember? And we knelt down on our knees. And I remember saying, Lord, I'm not sure if you're in my life, but if not, come in now. It's always good to make sure, isn't it? It's by faith we trust Christ, yet I like to seal the deal with a brief prayer. And I remember coming out of there, and, you know, I've never been the same. I don't think there's been an hour since then, thank God, that I haven't been somehow conscious of God. Because, my friends, Jesus said, I am the what? I am the way. And a journey needs to what? You need a beginning. You're not born on that highway. We're born on the other one. I am the way, and I began that journey with the Lord. That's been a while ago. Been on the journey with Christ. And we have a destination. It is the Father's what? House. Every day that we live, there ought to be one eye heaven, heavenward. So he said, I am the way. I call it tremendous triad. I'm the way, the truth, and the what? Life. My question is, if you were to die today, are you sure you would step into heaven? Some might say because of, I think, theology instead of biblical truth. Some would say you can't challenge people to trust Christ. Let me tell you this, I challenge everybody I meet to trust Christ. And I challenge you to be sure you have Christ in your life. Because life is uncertain, it's broken. So I would say, if you died today, would you go into the presence of Christ? You can know that. John says, he that has the Son has what? Life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. So the journey begins, and our destiny is the Father's house. Have you begun the journey? You say, Pastor Les, I'm not sure. Well, make sure. Thank you, Lord, for dying for my sins on the cross. I believe you rose on the third day. Amen? And right now, Lord, come into my life and give me that assurance that I'm yours. In this world that's on the move, I know where I'm headed. Do you? I am the way. Then I love this next one. He said, I'm the way, the what? The truth. You know why we follow Jesus Christ? We're sure he's the what? He's the truth. I would not want to follow a false Christ. I don't want to follow a fraud. I don't want to follow a fake. I don't want to follow someone who is a sinner. I want a Savior who's without sin. Amen? I don't want to follow someone who has to recall some things that he said. Jesus never had to recall a statement he ever said. Great teacher. Sinless. Master teacher. I don't want to follow somebody who's still in the grave. Jesus is not. The tomb is what? Empty. Just like he said, third day I shall come out. And he did. I don't want to follow someone who's not seated on the right hand of the majesty today. But let me tell you this, we have Jesus Christ who is the truth. Even before Pilate couldn't say any more and said, I find no what? No fault in this person. He's the truth. He's authentic. He's real. He's genuine. He's without falsehood. He's without flaw. He's the truth. Do you believe it? That's why it's a privilege to follow Jesus on this journey to heaven. Because Jesus knows where he is going. When he said to his disciples, I'm going and I will come back and receive you unto myself. When I first came here, and I'm looking back, I think I see you. When I first came here, one of the elders brought me from up in the hill there down into the valley. And I had a rented car, and it was kind of raining or dark or something, I remember. And I was trying to get the right lane. It's a little lovely. By the way, the police stopped me and pulled me over. I thank you for welcoming me that way. It's always nice in a strange place. You don't know the streets, and then you see the lights. I thought, oh, dear, what did I do? What did I do? What did I do? And he pulled me over, and I put the window down. I thought, oh, I wonder how much it costs here. And the police reached in my car. I thought, kind of bold first. He reached right in my window and turned my lights on. Nice to have lights on when you're driving through the city, isn't it? So he was very kind and very helpful. But it was wonderful to have somebody like the elders say, follow me. You know, some people, when you're asking directions, men seldom do it, but when you're asking directions, some of them say, well, you go through that light and then over there and take this right and this left. And you know what I do when they give me all the instructions? I just nod and smile. Doesn't help me a bit. Because if it's beyond two instructions, I can't get it anyway. You women can, but we can't. We lack. But it's wonderful when somebody says, instead of this, someone says, just follow me. Follow me. I've been there before. I know where I am, what I'm going. My friends, today Jesus is saying to every one of us, follow me. I am the way, the truth. You can trust me. Follow me. I know where I am going. And listen to this. I've been there before. I have come from my Father's house. Amen. And now I'm going back to my Father's house. And one day I shall come and take you to my Father's house. That gives me great assurance. No matter what life does, great assurance. That's why he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth. Follow me. Follow me through life. So thank God he not only points the way, but he walks with us every day. Matthew 28:8 says this, lo, I am with you, what? Always. I am with you always, all through the challenges of life. I have not left you. I am with you. And I go ahead of you. Do you believe it? I'm the way, the truth. And then I like this one. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus lives each step with us. One of you said recently to me, and it helped me to be reminded again, when Jesus hung on the cross for our sins, when he was crucified, for our sins, and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, he's divine, but he's human. My God, why have you forsaken me? It was not only Jesus that was going through a horrendous time. I believe the Father in heaven was too. I have a son, and anytime anyone says something derogatory, you know what I'm saying? We feel it, don't we? Because we love our children. And I believe the Father was feeling for his son. He knew that it had to happen for the deliverance of thousands and millions of people. But it wasn't easy for the Father either. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the what? Life. He not only gives us eternal life, but he gives us a new quality of life here and now. I don't know about you, but my friends, I could not live life without Jesus Christ in my life. I could no longer comprehend life without him. I've been on the journey so long now that I would not know what it would be like. So he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He said, no one comes to the Father but what? That's the controversial part. There's only one way to the Father, and it's through Jesus Christ. There's no other Messiah. There's no other Savior. There's no other Lord. There's no other supreme sacrifice. There's no other sufficient sacrifice. There's nobody like him. He's incomparable. And the Father says, in order to honor me, you must honor the Son. He that knows the Son knows me. There's different ways to come to Christ, and we don't have time to deal with that today. But there's only one way to the Father, and that's through Christ. Everyone must by faith come to the cross. Everyone must by faith acknowledge he rose on the third day. That's why he said, go into all the world. The world needs me. That's why the world has been sent to Fort McMurray. Your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers need the Lord. Amen? And he wants them. But even as we say, no one can come to the Father except through me, I want to remind us that's exclusive. People need Jesus Christ to enter the Father's house. Yet the arms of Jesus are wide. John, one of his disciples, said, his blood is not only for we who are believers, But his blood has been shed for the sins of the world. And I take that in the broadest sense. You may come to Christ. And Jesus said this, in my Father's house are many mansions. There are many rooms. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. He said, whoever comes to me, whoever, no one comes except through him, but whoever comes to him will be saved. Whoever believes in me, the whoever to me is a whoever. Whoever. Anyone who believes in me. And then he said in one place, just believe. Just believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. Just believe. You see, we're not saved by church attendance. We're not saved by being in a religion. We're not saved by the good deeds we did. We are saved by simple faith that what Christ did on the cross there, that day is sufficient. Lord, come into my life. Don't make it more complicated than you should. He loves you. He died for you. Trust him. Trust him. So, I love that scripture, don't you? Jesus said, let's say it together. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Will you come today if you're not sure? Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you that even in a world that's broken, that's confused, that's on the move, that faces enormous challenges. Lord, I do pray that we would hear your voice today saying, I am the way. Begin the journey. I'm the truth. You may trust me. Follow me. I'm the life. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will walk each step with you till we step into the Father's house. So, Lord, please take this message today and apply it very personally to our hearts, that we might be able to say, everything's all right in my Father's house, and one day we shall be there. And all God's people said, amen. The Lord bless you.